Michael Smith. It's episode number 30 of the Canes Cast. You know what that means?
What's that?
I'm Han, you're Chewy, and we're in that bar! Welcome to episode number 30 of the Canes Cast, alongside The Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
Oh, good stuff. We will be joined a little bit later on the podcast by the Director of Community Relations and Promotions, also the Kids and Community Foundation. John Chase will join us on this episode of the podcast.
He's got a lot in his title. It might be the longest title in the organization once you add on Executive Director of the Kids and Community Foundation.
I think you're right.
That's a mouthful.
That's a business card. He's got a placard, not a business card.
It's one of the business cards that you have to flip over to the other side.
Exactly. But it's embossed, so it's very nice. All right, Michael, let's get to the good. Because since we've last podcasted, the Carolina Hurricanes were in the middle of scoring lots and lots of goals. They did that against Vancouver. They scored against Colorado. And then 7 goals against the LA Kings. And things were looking really good. So let's go with the good. What did we like about this Hurricanes when they put together this Hurricanes team when they put together a 3-game winning streak and were scoring goals at a torrid pace against some good competition?
Yeah, there was a lot to like. We convened on Monday to talk about the weekend where it was 2 consecutive wins over Western Conference opponents, and then the LA Kings came in and the Hurricanes scored a touchdown and kicked the extra point, make it 7-3. And there was a lot to like. I mean, the Hurricanes were outscoring their opponents at will, really, 14-5 in that stretch. You thought maybe that the Hurricanes, who had previously struggled really to score 5-on-5 with any consistency, you had hoped the team was turning a corner. And there was a lot to like about those games. Justin Falk had his first career hat trick against LA.
And he became just the 10th NHL defenseman in history, 100 years of hockey, to score the natural hat trick, which means 3 goals in a row. Nobody else scored a goal in between that. It's been done 11 times. Al MacInnis done it twice, but just the 10th man to do it.
And there was a little confusion inside the building because I can't remember his first or second goal.
The second.
I think it was his first.
His
but
first.
The team's second
yes.
goal.
That maybe Teuvo Teravainen got a tip on it.
Right, but it turns out after extensive video review that it was indeed Justin Falk's goal. I think it went in off a Kings defender. So there were maybe a few less hats than would otherwise have been thrown. But it was a pretty joyous celebration nonetheless. Justin Falk, it was a good sign to see him scoring on the power play, helping the Hurricanes' numbers there. And his shooting percentage coming into the game, and I think we had mentioned that on the podcast last week, was that his shooting percentage was low, abnormally low, really. And he, with the 3-goal performance, raised it, I think, a few percentages at least. So everything was looking up coming off that Tuesday game. The Hurricanes were headed to New Jersey with their moms for what was going to be a very big game against the team that the Hurricanes were chasing in the standings.
Yep.
And things since then haven't gone so well.
Well, let's take a step back and go away from hockey and just refer to the mom's trip, the moms and sisters, and as John Forslund said, mom, sisters, and mentors trip for the Hurricanes. I thought it was excellent. It was well done. And to all of the women who accompanied us on the trip up to New Jersey to that game and then came back and watched the Canes take on the Islanders the next night, these are fantastic women. We understand why the men in the locker room are the way they are. They were raised right. They had great role models, great siblings. Just cannot express how nice, how kind, how enthusiastic these ladies are towards the game of hockey and their kids. It was a great trip. Just wish that the Canes could have put 4 points in the bags as they were getting ready to go back home.
Yeah, there were a handful of them here for Tuesday night against LA, and the Hurricanes scored 7 goals. So the thinking was, okay, you know, their moms are here, sisters here. The Hurricanes are going to, you know, put together a nice string of games. Unfortunately, that was not the case. I still think there might have been a few that stuck around for Sunday's game against the New Jersey Devils.
Yep.
It just worked out that the Hurricanes had such a tightly packed schedule and some time for the moms and of course Derek Ryan's sister to enjoy some time here in Raleigh. But yeah, it was a great trip. The Hurricanes, the first time they have done a mom's trip. So it was good to see a lot of the moms make the trip up to New Jersey. I know they had a fantastic afternoon on Thursday in the city of New York. They took in the Phantom of the Opera down in Manhattan there.
On Broadway.
On Broadway, and then got to come back to Newark at the Prudential Center. Had a couple of suites there. I know you stopped by a couple of times for some TV hits, and it seemed to be a great time. I know the moms were really into the game.
Yes.
Even though the score, unfortunately, wasn't what any of them would have liked to have seen.
It was a close game going into the third period.
It was.
That's something that we're going to chronicle in a little bit. But sorry to interrupt you, but it was a close game. And the moms really, they did enjoy it. And, again, to the Canes organization, great job.
Yeah.
Great job. It was just perfectly done, perfectly executed for everybody who was involved. So the wins maybe not so much, but let's take a look now. They're not so good. We talked about the Kings win, but now we've got to figure out why this team is 0-1-1 against the New Jersey Devils, and they made Thomas Greiss look like the second coming of, if you're an Islanders fan, Billy Smith. If you're not familiar with Billy Smith, Patrick Waugh. If you're not familiar with Patrick Waugh, Dominic Hasek. If you're not familiar with any of those names, you literally just started watching hockey today.
Hi, welcome. It's a wonderful sport.
And we enjoy that you're here on the Canescast.
Yes.
Please rate us.
Yes.
And 5 stars, nice.
Yeah, 5 stars, great. 4 stars, fine.
4 stars, fine. 3 stars, we're still friends.
Maybe.
2 stars, we need to talk. Yep. 1 star, you're just being rude.
Yeah, just stop listening.
Yeah, that's you're trolling, and we have enough of that right now.
Yeah, so it was an important four-game stretch that began with Thursday in New Jersey because you're facing all Metropolitan Division opponents in New Jersey back home against the Islanders. Devils again, and then, of course, the Pittsburgh Penguins coming to town on Friday after this weird four-day, not a bye week sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I can't figure it out.
But an important four-game stretch that the Hurricanes really needed to have and hasn't gone the Hurricanes' way so far, 0-2-1 in this stretch thus far. And the New Jersey Devils, who have now won 4 straight, have created a little bit of separation in the standings. The Philadelphia Flyers, too, who came to town a couple of weeks back, have also created some separation in the Metropolitan Division. And so what you found now is that it's kind of a three-team race for that second wildcard spot. The Islanders are locked into that right now. The Hurricanes are knocking on the door there.
Tied in points, but behind in wins in regulation or overtime, which is why people are going to say, well, they have the same amount of points. Why aren't the Canes in front of them? It's wins in regulation or overtime become
a tiebreaker. ROW column. Yep. And then the Blue Jackets, who have played one less game. I can't talk.
I thought my Riggedy Row was going to get you on that one.
I didn't hear that.
That's why I said it again for you.
It's wonderful.
You're welcome.
The Columbus Blue Jackets have played one less game and have one less point. It's basically a three-team race, it seems, between those three currently because – as of right now, the Flyers and Devils have created some serious separation. They're going to be duking it out, I think, for third place in the division. And we say this, but there's still a quarter of the season left.
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know, that's what everybody looks at is, like, well, what has to happen? There's 22 games left. 22! I mean, folks, that is an eternity when it comes to hockey. I think the tough part about all this is how the schedule's set up. Where December, it was nothing but the road. And then January to February, it felt like it was nothing but home games for the Hurricanes, at least from late January, post-All-Star game to where we are right now. So, oh, you put together this great record at home, and you're going to make all this. Hey, well, remember that home game, that homestand, the 8-game homestand? Canes went 5-2-1 on that homestand. So they did turn it around into something very good. It's just we've heard the players talk about it in the locker room. These last three games, this is playoff hockey. The margin for error is zero. You know, Western Conference teams who've come in here and they're traveling a little bit, you know, they want to get points. I'm not saying they're coming in here going, we don't care if we win or lose, but there's not that intensity in those games that you get when you're looking across and there's the New Jersey Devils, and this becomes, say it with me, the four-point game, because if they win, that's 2 points for them, and that means it's 2 points you don't get, and vice versa.
And it's tough for the Western Conference teams, too, because we know how tough it is for the Hurricanes when they go out west and they're on these long road trips.
I think it's actually worse to come east and play.
Right.
So.
That's always an interesting dynamic when you get a Western Conference team in here, a team that you only see once in your building and then once in their building. So there's not that familiarity. Well, then when you look at a team like the Devils, who the Hurricanes hadn't seen all year until Thursday and then saw twice within 4 days. And what you see there is, you know, I hadn't seen them really all year because I mainly pay attention to who the Hurricanes are playing and their opponents. So hadn't really had a chance to watch the Devils at all this year. But boy, seeing them in 2 games in 4 days, that's a quick team. That's a quick team that is good in transition. You saw on Sunday the Devils score a couple of goals in transition off turnovers, off unforced errors by the Hurricanes. They're a good team, and it's you know, I can see why they held on to first place in the division early on in the season. Came off it a bit. I think they had lost 3 or 4 games before this 4-game winning streak they're on currently. But they seem to be a really good team, a really quick team. That the Hurricanes, you know, in New Jersey didn't have their best effort. It, like you said, was close game heading into the third period. But on Sunday here at PNC Arena, I didn't think the Hurricanes played a terrible game.
No, they played good, but it goes back to, Michael, it's a playoff atmosphere. So if you make a mistake, it gets exaggerated in these games. And I'll use a line from the great Chuck Cate.
Crowd noise only.
Oh, thank you. The singer's got to sing and the dancers have got to dance. And the one thing that stood out for me in the 2 games against the Devils, Taylor Hall, who all of a sudden is sneaky in the heart conversation, the league MVP, and Nico Hischier, the first overall pick this year, they're outstanding players. You know, he's sure still figuring it out, but he's got goals in 4 straight, and Taylor Hall has got points now in, for him personally, 18 consecutive games. He had a couple of games that he missed due to injury, but he's now got points in 11 consecutive. So they were good, Nico Hischier and Taylor Hall, they show up on the score sheet. And when your best players do that consistently, that's where you get into this point. And that leads to the one thing for the Canes, for me, Michael, and he is the Web's Michael Smith from CarolinaHurricanes.com, the consistency on offense for this Canes team, I don't know where it goes, because I thought they'd crack the code against those West Coast teams. I really did. They were getting to the net, and you look at the goals that they scored against New Jersey the other night. Those are good goals. You know, Jeff Skinner, yes, the goalie's pulled and it's desperation time, but you've got two guys crashing in the net. They're doing the things you need to do. I don't know if I can say Keith Kincaid and Thomas Greiss were great. The numbers would say they were.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get into the Jackson Pollock graphic of analytics and hot zones and everything. They were, but did the Canes do enough? They'll tell you that they played well, but they didn't do enough to win. So it becomes frustrating, I know, for the guys in that room to get to this point and only come away with a point in a game like that on Sunday. And I hate to go must-win categories, but that's what we're starting to get into. Friday's going to feel like a must-win against a team that's figured it out in Pittsburgh. So,
yeah, they're sitting in first place in the Metropolitan Division right now.
Yeah, think about that.
Which, you know, might change, you know, by Friday.
About 2 weeks ago, we were wondering, oh, man, are they going to start dealing off parts and thinking about, like, a retool for next year? Now they're in first place.
They were below the cut line, and now they're in first place in the division. That's how tightly contested this division has been. And that just goes to show you, Philadelphia lost 10 straight games earlier this season, and now they're in third place.
There's one thing that I'm going to hate about these 4 days off. You're going to see separation. You're going to see somebody's going to win games, be it the Islanders, be it the Columbus Blue Jackets. As Michael, you've already mentioned, it's 3 teams for 1 spot. Somebody's going to win a couple of games while the Canes are sitting idle waiting for the Pittsburgh Penguins on Friday.
Yeah, and that, so then you get into the whole games in hand conversation, and we've been over that on the podcast before.
I will say one good thing, though, about the schedule. New Jersey still has to go out west. New Jersey still has to go play Vegas. They haven't gotten that taste yet, and Vegas has got to go to New Jersey. They still have a trip where they've got to take on West Coast teams. We know, not easy to do, as we've already brought up here, but there's just a lot of stuff right now for the Canes where people are hitting the panic button. I had somebody the other day on Twitter, you know, give me this list of why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? And do you mind if I share? Can I share the response?
Share the response. And while you're digging up the response,
it'll take me a second.
Just to look ahead, too, for the Hurricanes, I mentioned the 3-team race, Hurricanes, Islanders, Blue Jackets. The Hurricanes finished their season series with the Blue Jackets in December,
yeah,
as oddly as that was. As odd as that was. Wow, I really can't talk on Monday.
Yeah, you are struggling.
and I stumble again in the interview with John Chase. We'll get to that in a bit. But then the Hurricanes have one game left against the Islanders in Brooklyn in mid-March. So, yeah, four-point games. There's only one remaining on the schedule with the teams the Hurricanes are currently fighting it out with. But, you know, again, an opportunity to get points within the division on Friday against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Chance to get points within the conference then on Saturday and Tuesday in Detroit, Boston, and then, of course, Philadelphia on Thursday. So, yeah, plenty of opportunities for the Hurricanes to remain in this one. They're not even out of it. They're right in the thick of it, right? Just really a point out from a wild card spot.
They're not
spot.
Even a point out. They are technically tied points for the final wild
Correct.
Card spot. But
you can't both make it.
And row. Thank you. So a tweet that was put out where I just basically said, I love playoff hockey. The NHL postseason in, you know, this turns into the don't at me. And that's literally what I said. Don't at me. I love all sports. March Madness is fantastic. The NFL playoffs are great. I'm a huge baseball fan. Huge baseball fan. You know that, Michael. We've been out on the road during October, and I'm like, I'm going to watch baseball, so you need to be prepped if you're going to be sitting next to me for that.
And we got to see a spring training game last year.
Yes, we did. But to me, there is no greater postseason than what the NHL players put them through for that chalice. And what it started off with was, I just said, look, this is what it's all about. I'm not disrespecting. I'm not saying that these other playoffs aren't good. I'm just saying that this is the best one by miles. So I was then given a tweet. Well, how come the Canes, and then you can read into it, don't seem to be concerned about making the playoffs? And somebody goes, this isn't the forum. That's not the question that was asked, but I'll answer it. And there was kind of like points that were laid out. So I'm going to go over 4 points. And this might be a little early for it.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
So here we go. So when people are panicking right now about why the Canes haven't made any major moves, let me know which one of these points you'd send right back for being incorrect. One, the season isn't over yet.
That's correct.
22 games. Two, at the time I wrote this, they're 1 point out of a playoff spot. Now, technically, they're tied points-wise for a playoff spot.
Yeah, we'll still call it. That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, but if you want to send it back, again, riggedy row.
Yeah.
But if you want to send it back, you do what you need to do. Three, making a big deal doesn't always work out early. Ask the Senators and Matt Duchene.
Also correct.
Thank you. Four, trade deadline. This was typed on Sunday, so now it's Monday or whatever. Trade deadline, still 8 days away.
It's exactly a week away, and the Hurricanes front office is going to have time this week. As we mentioned, 4 days in between Sunday's game against New Jersey and Friday's game against Pittsburgh. 4 days to really sit down and determine, you know, what the future holds, because then the Hurricanes are going to play a couple games. It's going to be Sunday, and then it's going to be Monday, where the trade deadline's at 3 p.m., I believe it is, and the Hurricanes will be jet-setting for Boston and Philadelphia, a quick two-game road trip. Lots can happen in this week. Lots can happen. And I'm not sure the Hurricanes are in a position to be buyers or to be sellers. They're in this sort of in-between zone where, you know, a streak vaults them into a playoff spot. A streak in one direction vaults them into a playoff spot, and a streak in the other direction sinks them to the bottom of the Metropolitan Division. So it's kind of a weird in-between right now, but the Hurricanes, you know, have opportunities to get points coming up.
Do you watch Archer at all?
No.
Oh, okay. Then my Danger Zone reference would be wasted. Hopefully not on the people on the podcast. But look, if we're going to go down this, and I know that you've got it, if I like it, I can take it. If not,
send it right back.
The Philadelphia Flyers, both their goaltenders are hurt. Michael Neuvirth got hurt the other day. And it's not going to be he's out for a day. They got to figure out what they're going to do. The New Jersey Devils, they still have to figure out, okay, are we going to get Corey Schneider back and healthy? Although Eddie Lack, former Carolina Hurricane, shout out to Eddie Lack. Good guy, good friend of both humanity
the podcast.
And the podcast. Yeah, he would
have. Though he's never been on the
podcast. He would have if we would have asked him. Eddie Lack with a career high in saves as they beat Tampa Bay the night before they come here and get the overtime win against the Canes. But the New York Islanders, the Columbus Blue Jackets, well, we know that the Rangers have already waved the white flag, but the Florida Panthers, the Detroit Red Wings, what are they? Are they buyers? Are they sellers? Then you go out west. Calgary, Los Angeles, Colorado, Chicago. They sellers? Edmonton, sellers? Are these teams sellers? Or are they going to be buyers? Nobody knows who's who yet. And we only have 7 days to get to the trade deadline.
The trade deadline.
There's like three teams that are sellers right now.
It's always an interesting thing too, because I think it's expected to be one thing just sometimes like free agency day, and then it turns into something else. The NBA trade deadline this year was bananas for whatever reason. The Cavs just
because the Cleveland Cavaliers decided to blow everything up.
They gave everybody away. I don't think the NHL trade deadline is going to be that. I could be wrong.
I don't know. I don't know, because you know what? In years past, we're like, oh, this is going to be – here we go. Yard sale from 9 a.m. until the deadline, and you get crickets. Today, I'm expecting it to be crickets, but it could be a yard sale because a couple of teams might fall out of it and say, we would rather get rid of some contracts and bring in some prospects or draft picks or just get money off of the books. So we'll see. The next 5 days, I think, are really key for those teams – that I mentioned, for those names. Do you believe that you're going to make a run? Do you believe that you can't make a run? So now you've got to get some bad money off of the books to make your team better for next year. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. But I can't right now, I can't tell you in good faith that it's either going to be the busiest trade deadline day ever or it'll be as slow as we've ever seen it. We'll see.
Yeah. And I think looping it back around to the Hurricanes is that they just need to get back in the win column. Yeah, they got a point against New Jersey, just like a couple of weeks ago they got a point against Philadelphia and then rattled off three straight wins.
Winning cures everything, Michael.
Right, and so hopefully this point puts them on the right track, because as we've talked about on this podcast before this season, the three steps forward and then two and a half steps back doesn't really get you where you want to be in the standings, and the Hurricanes have to find a way to prolong those winning streaks and shorten up those losing streaks.
Right.
And that's simply what it comes down to in the final 22 games of the season.
All right. I know that the coaching staff looks at five-game segments. Going to look at eight-game segments. Not going to be easy. Pittsburgh at home on Friday. Then you play Detroit the next night. Then go to Boston, Philadelphia, New Jersey the night after you play Philadelphia here. Winnipeg, who might be the best team in the NHL, Michael. They might be.
That's been kind of a surprise, I think.
What was it? The Hockey News a few years ago did what Sports Illustrated did with the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Where they predicted your 2017 World Series champs. I think they said the 2019 Stanley Cup champion.
They've got a good young team. And
they got a goalie. Connor Hellebuyck showed up, and he's a big reason why.
He's played well.
Then you got Winnipeg. Then you go on the road and play Minnesota and Chicago. That's the last travel, technically, road trip where the Canes will jump out of time zone. So it's not going to be – these eight games are not going to be easy. You got to find a way to go, like you say, put a winning streak together. Got to find a way to go 6-2 in these next eight games.
And you got back-to-backs. You got 3-4s. You got 5-7s probably, if I'm doing them at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. So it's the schedule doesn't get any easier. This four-day break – as weird, as quirky as it is a chance for the Hurricanes to, as they stayed off the ice on Monday, a scheduled off day on Tuesday, a chance for them to catch a breath, a chance for them to reassess and figure out what kind of team they're going to be down the stretch of the season. And then it's a 22-game sprint right to April 7th, I believe it is, when the Tampa Bay Lightning come to town on a Saturday night and close out the 2017-2018 regular season for the Hurricanes. And then where the Hurricanes stand on come April 8th is anyone's best guess. But they're right there in the thick of it. With 22 games left, the Carolina Hurricanes are right there knocking on the door of a wild card spot. We're not talking about a couple wins out, a handful of points out. We're talking a single point. A single point and the Hurricanes are in it. 22 games left. To sort everything out, and it should be a fun stretch ride. It really should be a fun stretch run of the season because the Hurricanes are right in it. They're playing these playoff type games. The crowds at PNC Arena have been fantastic. The energy's been electric, and I think the team has sort of fed off of that at times. And it's been fun, And I think it's going to be even more fun down the stretch of the season as we see the Hurricanes push for a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference.
You got one more for me, or are you good?
I think I'm good.
All right.
We have an interview to get to.
We do.
We chatted with John Chase, who is, as we discussed earlier, who has a very long title. He oversees community relations. He oversees promotions. He oversees the Kids and Community Foundation. He's a busy man these days. He celebrated a birthday yesterday. We caught up with him.
Michael Smith, let's go inside the organization a little bit and say hello to the Director of Community Relations and Promotions, but he does so much more than that. All-around good human being, John Chase.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for joining us here on the CanesCast, John.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Anytime. First off, for people who want to look, before we get into a lot of the things that you help head up and make sure that the initiatives are followed through so the fans can really enjoy a game day experience and get involved and get access to the team, which, by the way, I've gone on record and I'll say it again. I hope Canes fans understand the access they have to this hockey club, because I think it's unparalleled throughout the league. And you guys, you and your staff, have done a tremendous job doing that. But what goes into the typical day for John Chase besides, of course, the highlight being part of the Canes cast here today?
Right, and before I jump into that, I have to make a quick comment. And this does not translate well to a podcast, unfortunately. But Mike Smith, sitting across from me, has finally risen from I don't know where. But he has not, from my understanding, he had not shaved or cut his hair since Thanksgiving. And that has finally taken place. So when you all see him out at practice this week or at the game on the 23rd, he looks great, by the way. This is peak Michael Smith right here, and I can't wait for everyone to see him.
We took one road trip in about, it felt like the past 3 months since Thanksgiving, and we were in Summit, New Jersey, and the Canes moms were on the trip, and one of them asked me if I was comfortable working with a werewolf. And I said, you know, it's the dangers of the job, but yes, I'm fine with it.
Well, you know, we were actually on the road for a lot of December. There wasn't a lot of time to take care of the business upstairs.
This couldn't have taken more than 10 minutes, but
yeah,
it looks great.
It was pretty
quick. Looks great. So, Mike, back to your question, a normal day. So my worlds are Kids and Community Foundation, Community Relations, Promotions, and Fan Development. So appreciate the kind words as far as our team. I have a great team of support around us that lead the charge on all these things. But a normal day, that would take probably too long to try to explain, and I don't think the podcast would people would be hitting stop or pause or leaving it. But for the most part, all our events out in the community on a game day experience, everything before or after, our appreciation nights, youth hockey, we try to be a part of it all. And obviously one of the great parts is being engaged with the community and our fan base, and each day is a gift for us here, and we appreciate the support. And glad to be here on the podcast.
Well, it's a highly rated podcast, 5 stars on iTunes.
Wow, that's good. Wait till my mother comes in and gives you another 5 stars.
I hope she
knows.
She does. Yeah. That's perfect. That's all we ask for. She could review us, too. That would help us
right,
out.
We're also going to have to probably talk to her about podcasts and how to get it and all that. So,
let's get into some of the fundraisers that have been happening so far this season. Skate with the Canes in January, alumni game earlier this month, I believe it was.
No, that was the next weekend
January?
In January. Yeah.
Okay, it's,
yeah.
It all runs together
this?
At this
how
point.
How does it work?
It all runs together.
Okay.
What we've found out is we just keep the errors in because
gotcha.
That way people point out that we actually did them,
right.
So we know you're listening.
Right.
It's perfectly imperfect. But let's talk about those, because those were pretty successful for the foundation.
Yes, so Skate with the Canes was record-setting fundraising for us, sold-out events. Obviously, with all our events with the Kids and Community Foundation, the goal is to raise money, but also put on a great experience for our fans. We can't expect to raise money and bring money in for the foundation if we're not putting on a fun, engaging, fan-focused event. So that one sold out. That was awesome. And then the alumni game ended up bringing in over $50,000, allowed us to bring back Brian Bickle, who's just an amazing guy. So it was great spending the weekend with him. But about 7-8 day period, two successful events, and obviously a big part of that is our fans and staff behind it that makes that all possible.
And that leads us into another major fundraiser throughout the season. Obviously, there's the golf tournament in September, but the newly minted Carolina Hurricanes Bash, the inaugural Carolina Hurricanes
Big
Bash
night.
Presented by PNC, happens on Friday, March 9th here at PNC Arena. It's the first year for it, obviously, hence the inaugural term. What can you tell us about the event? What can fans expect? Set it on a tee for us.
All right, well, first and foremost, the event's going to be incredible. So after about 12, 13 years of casino nights, we thought it was time to re-energize, refresh everything. So we took the best parts of casino night, which is great food, great drinks, which at this event is unlimited. You can eat as much as you want. You can drink safely as much as you want or as little as you want. So that's still there. The interaction with the players, still there. And we think we've even increased it. So with the Bash, instead of all casino games, we are putting games like pool, ping pong, air hockey, foosball, darts, cornhole, Jenga, you name it. There's so many games that we're going to have where players will be stationed, just like at casino night where they were at different games. They will be at these new games, and our participants will be able to compete against them, challenge them. And we'll still have a few select casino games in there as well. But we're trying to take the best of casino night and make it better.
Well, can you also tell everybody, John, how important the Carolina Hurricanes Bash, the golf outings are for the grants that the Kids and Community Foundation gives throughout the year? And by the way, now you get to play Jenga or pool or bubble hockey. Come at me, bro, on that one, because I am all about that. If anybody wants to take on Canes broadcasters for that, I have been told we'll be at the Carolina Hurricanes Bash. How important it is for the goal grants that you give. And I think there's a lot of things that go on in the community that the hockey club and what you're involved with, in particular Kids and Community, that I'm not so sure everybody knows what you do and what the goal grants are all about.
So this is an incredibly important time for the Kids and Community Foundation. This is our highest giving period of grants. Back in December, we awarded our game-changing grants. In the next few weeks, we'll be awarding our goal grants and then our future Canes grants. So we award up between $500,000 and $550,000 in cash grants to between 25 and 30 groups each year. So while we want these events to be fun and engaging, and we want people leaving thinking, not only did we help raise money, but it was an amazing experience, we do need money for the foundation, and we need money to make sure we can continue to award this much money back into the community. So these are critical, critical weeks and months. We're one of many nonprofits in the area, but just like them, we are trying to do our best to make a difference. And in being here, the price of the ticket's $225, $125, which is tax deductible. But all that money will be going into these grants that we'll be awarding here over the next couple weeks.
All right. So once again, if people want to know time, date, where can they get tickets in advance? Can they get tickets at the door? What's the website to go to? Let's make sure that we pack the inaugural Carolina Hurricanes Bash.
Yeah. And with that, so it's carolinahurricanes.com/bash. Again, the event is Friday, March 9th, 7 to 11 p.m. here at PNC Arena. Tickets are available via Ticketmaster, or you can also call 919-861-5494. Again, that's 919-861-5494.
And also visit CarolinaHurricanes.bash, CarolinaHurricanes.com/bash. I don't even know how the internet works.
Aren't you the web's Michael Smith?
Sometimes. I see ping pong on the list of games that will be featured at the Carolina Hurricanes Bash. The players in the locker room are, from what we've seen, pretty good at ping pong. Mm-hmm. Do you think anyone can challenge them and perhaps beat them?
Well, I've always believed in our fan base and in the community. So it could be a tall order or a high mountain to climb. But I think they could at least compete. And our goal with a lot of these games will be, this isn't going to be equivalent to your local tailgate where you played a 21 in cornhole or something. The goal is to keep people moving, meeting different players, so the scores will be a little bit lower. We want to have that access. We want to give people different opportunities in different places. So these games, in ping pong, we're cleaning some of this up, but you may play at a 5, you may play at a 7. So in these short games, these short series, Mikes and Mikes.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. You never know.
I like that.
And every point is vital.
Yes.
I like that. Short series. That's why we've seen professional leagues, both the NHL and NBA, extend the first round from 5 to 7.
Correct.
Because anything can happen.
There will be upsets at the Canes Bash. We have to go in knowing that. There could be upsets.
There will be.
Yeah.
But look, we know that there's a 12-5 every year. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's going to happen somewhere. I'm not gonna say which player will lose, but it will be a tall order.
Right.
But sometimes when the Carolina Hurricanes inaugural bash aligns just right.
Yep.
You can believe in miracles. Yes.
And you'll hear about it. It'll be the
And
the last thing I'll say on this, we will be announcing, I signed a contract about 7 days ago for part of our entertainment for the Canes Bash, and it'll be groundbreaking. It is one of the hottest acts, at least in my opinion, which, and I think people will agree, one of the hottest acts in America, that when this individual performs, I would say with confidence, it is trending consistently in that area and sometimes nationwide.
Kevin Hart is one of my favorite people.
Isn't Kevin Hart?
Bruno Mars.
Isn't Bruno Mars? But right.
We're out with our guests.
It will be exciting, and we'll announce that this week.
Excellent. Cannot wait for that, Michael.
That's what we call in the business a tease.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. So depending on when you hear this, listening to Canes Cast episode 30, and John Chase is our guest here, who basically makes sure the Kids and Community Foundation runs on time. He is in charge of promotions and public relations and everything else that this team has to offer. He's with us. We appreciate you. This could either be a week away or maybe a day away, or you already know. And hence, this was still exciting information for you.
I'm ready.
So are we. You know what else I like this month? The NHL really does a great job with their initiatives. When they want to put something out, they find a way to get the teams involved, get fan bases involved. February is Hockey is for Everyone. You Can Play initiatives. Is that a challenge to work hand-in-hand with the NHL, and you have to find things in the area that seem to fit this, or is this actually something that makes it easier to find and fit these into what you want to do for this month? And so far, for the people who've been to PNC Arena, from Hockey is for Everyone to the other night, you had the Triangle Sled teams in the intermission, and the crowd was into it. You know, not a lot of people ran to go get their beverages until after it was over. But how much of a challenge is it, or how fun is it to be able to bring this kind of initiative where you can play to the ice, into the rink, to the fan base here for the Canes?
So these months, this month is great for us, and what makes these months, or Hockey is for Everyone month, smooth for us is these are highlighting year-long partnerships. It's not as though we see these groups once a year, once a week. We work with them throughout the season. So with Triangle Special Hockey, Carolina Sled Hockey, our girls programs, our You Can Play Night, these are all initiatives that we try to support throughout the year. And we can always get better on all of them. So it's relationships, some of them that started within the past year, some that started 8-9 years ago, and we continue to grow on them. So it's been a great month. Our last game this month is on February 23rd. We'll have the Capital City Crew out here playing during one of the intermissions. We'll have a coach or player on the siren. But it's just been a great month to highlight. And we're just, as a team, it's our job to help highlight, work with them, do what we can to help. But it's really those coaches, players, volunteers that are the true heroes and hard workers behind all this. We just try to offer them a platform and help push their cause to a larger audience, and we're honored to be able to do that.
And the Capital City Crew, they were here earlier this month for a practice, and they got some tips from Hayden Fleury and Trevor Van Riemsdyk, which I imagine for those kids who are pretty new to hockey, it's got to be pretty cool to have a couple of NHLers on the ice with them, showing them sort of the ropes, participating in practice with them. That's got to be a fun time for them. Going back to You Can Play, we've got Pride Tape Sticks, I hear, up for auction. John, how can fans get a hold of those and perhaps take home with them a signed stick with some Pride Tape on it?
So our auction launched this morning. If you go to CarolinaHurricanes.com, if you go to our community website, there's a link for auctions on there. But it started this morning at 10 a.m., and then it'll go through February 28th. But again, go to CarolinaHurricanes.com, click on community. There's an auctions link, and it'll take you to where you can bid on those sticks.
What I like about that, for people who don't know, with the pride tape on the sticks, the players do that themselves.
Correct.
So you're getting – this is the individual take on how they use that tape. It's really outstanding. Phil DiGiuseppe autographed his stick as well, so you have all of these out there. Again, I mean, there are a couple of bids in already. I'm going to suggest don't wait. Get your bid in now. If there's one that you want, get your bid in now. And I'm always for the long play, not the short play coming in at the last minute. But, again, with what John Chase said earlier, all of the money goes and helps great area venues, great area leadership councils. And for this, of course, the Kids and Community Foundation as well, which we're a big fan of. Also, let me tip the hat, if I can, to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces Military Appreciation Night, which happened this past weekend against New Jersey. What a great job done by, first off, our men and women of the armed forces to be here and show just this is what our helicopters look like and everything else. But a great job by the Canes, too, to announce this is what it's all about and thank these men and women who every day, for my money, are the true heroes. Yep. You know, I know we love the hockey team and we're all fans of athletes, but the true heroes are the ones who allow us to go and enjoy that. That's got to be something when you see the smile that you can put on a serviceman or woman's face just for coming here and giving them a little bit of recognition. That's got to be satisfying, John.
Yeah, so definitely a special day, and one of the coolest parts of military appreciation is, again, this is highlighting a year-long partnership. The growth of these partnerships the last 12, 13 years that I've been involved. I mean, you got to state the obvious. It's a military appreciation day, and you're asking some – there's some servicemen and women that are honored and taking the game with their family as we donate hundreds, thousands of tickets. But the other side of that is you are asking servicemen and women to come out and work on military appreciation. So you have to understand the relationship and fully be able to look them in the eye and say, we appreciate you taking the time today, not just today to do this, but what you do every day, every week, every month. But it's important that we keep those relationships throughout the year, which you guys see at home games. We're actually going to Fort Bragg later this month. The promotions team is. But these are not just one-day things. It's just an opportunity to highlight them, a special day like military appreciation on the 18th. First time we had someone rappel in quite a while, at least the first time in 13 years that we had someone do that. So that was pretty cool. And then if you haven't been on Twitter, the Canes sent this out yesterday, but the Carolina sled hockey team that was out here had seven or eight vets on that team. And Rob Pickles' goal, he's number 84, is just filthy. It is an amazing goal. A guy comes in, tries to take him out with a shoulder bump. He splits the D there, splits another D, and goes top shelf. So Rob Pickle was a Green Beret.
Yeah, I interviewed Rob earlier this year.
Yes.
On one of the military awareness nights beforehand.
He was also Martin Marietta Military Moments of the Game, I believe, potentially on Veterans Day.
I believe
earlier
that's
this
right.
Day.
Yeah, that goal
this year
was outstanding. Just outstanding. Yeah, and goes to show you what these athletes are all about. So,
yes.
And you guys give them the platform and the forum. John, thank you for taking time out of your busy day.
Glad
really don't know
here.
When you have like 15 minutes in the day to come in and join the Canescast, but we are very happy that you did.
Pumped to be here. Glad to be here. Appreciate all you guys do.
Fresh off the big birthday celebration, too.
Yes, yesterday was my birthday. Well, I'll put it in content. February 18th was my birthday, so got to celebrate it here with Carolina Hurricanes fans. Mom and Dad came into town as well, and my lovely fiance Rachel and our lovely two dogs, Carl and Riley. We all were able to spend a little time after the game, so a great day nonetheless.
Also awesome that you named your dog a normal name. That's one of my favorite things ever.
Well, it's ironic because they're anything but normal. Hands down, I know everyone will be fine admitting this, but our two dogs are simply the best two dogs in the world. And I know it's with fellow dog owners out there, it's not a competition. People can just look at you and hear that and say, you know, John's right. They probably are the two best dogs in the world, and I appreciate that.
I believe that. He is the Director of Community Relations and Promotions. He helps make sure that the Kids and Community Foundation has fantastic events, that the players get access to the public, and vice versa, that the public gets access to the players. He is, as we've said it, happy birthday, and all-around good
you.
Guy, John Chase. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Appreciate it for having me, guys.
So one last time, visit hurricanes.com/bash if you are interested in getting your tickets to the inaugural Hurricanes Bash presented by PNC. benefiting the Kids and Community Foundation. It's going to be...
I'm glad you got that website worked out right.
I nailed it down this time. It's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a really fun night. If any of you have come to Casino Night before, you know how high-end, how fun of an event it is, how close you're able to interact with players and coaches. This is going to be the same idea. Food, drinks. The games are going to be a little different, but... The coaches, the players, everyone's going to be there on the arena floor. It should be a really fun night. So don't miss out. Get your tickets now, hurricanes.com/bash.
Anything else you want to add here?
I think I'm good.
Same here.
Okay.
I think we've got filled up. So I did put out on the old Twitter machine and ask us anything, but I put it out actually really late. So next Monday, Michael Smith and I will be in the mood for Ask Us Anything.
Next Monday will be very interesting. Trade deadline day.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll,
you know what? We might actually, because it is trade deadline day, I'm going to make the executive decision. I mean, this is your podcast, but.
Well, this is our podcast.
I'm going to make the executive decision. Why don't we wait till Tuesday to put out the podcast because of the trade deadline?
We'll see. We'll see what the trade deadline holds, what our schedule's
like. Or we might
like.
Do the podcast on the road.
We might do that. If we do it Tuesday, we'll have to do it on the road. Yeah. If we do it Monday evening, we'll again be on the road.
Maybe we can do it from a location.
I'm pretty sure I know what location you're talking about. I think they serve pretzels.
I think you're right.
But we'll see. We'll come up with something. I don't know the practice schedule for that day. It might be an 11 o'clock practice here. But there's going to be some things going on with trade deadline day, as there always are. Ron Francis will likely speak to the media around 3 p.m. The flight's at 3 p.m. too, so it'll probably be one of those speak and run type deals. But we'll figure out how to get a podcast in your ears, whether it's Monday or Tuesday.
Yep.
Episode 31 of the Canescast will be delivered straight to your subscription boxes.
Episode 30, Community. Neither of us are Joel McHale.
No. And I didn't watch that show either, did you?
Oh, you should.
Yeah, is it good?
It's typical Welsh nonsense.
Yeah. Maybe I'll check it out.
You should.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know.
You know what I started watching recently, before we get out of here, The Leftovers on HBO. Tremendous, tremendous writing and acting, direction, the sound, too. From the soundtrack to the way they use silence in the show is excellent. It's kind of depressing. The episode I watched last night, I just had to stop watching there because it was heavy. It was heavy. But check it out if you're a fan of television, because it's really well done.
Speaking of, I am watching a documentary on Johnny Carson that was put together by David Letterman's production company. It's really good.
Have you seen his new Netflix thing?
No, you have told me that it's...
I have.
Somebody,
well, I
somebody told me it was very good.
Seen it yet.
So.
I want to check it out, though, because I always... he was a good interviewer.
Oh, yeah.
I liked his interviews. My favorite late-night interviewer was Craig Ferguson. I thought his interviews were... next level. You know, he'd rip up the card at the beginning of the interview and just ask him anything. It became a conversation more so than a, okay, what do you want to plug type thing.
Yeah, well, that's what interviews I think should be. That's what I try to do. Speaking of Backyard Bistro, Noah Hanifin, Canes All-Star, will
Ooh.
Be the guest coming up on the 21st of February. So if you're listening to this before February 21st, 7 to 8, coming out to Backyard Bistro, you can listen to it on CarolinaHurricanes.com when it is then repurposed and put back up. So there's lots that you can get to for that. It's one of those things where I just try to make it a conversation.
Right.
Like, people sit there and like, you don't have cards? I'm like, if I have cards, people think I'm, you know, the people that I'm talking to think that I'm just, you know, going off of the James Lipton. If you were.
The big stack
exactly.
of blue cards.
Should do that one day with just a huge stack of blue cards with somebody.
And
but
then just knock them all over and talk about whatever you want.
No, you just want to have a conversation. You want them to be a real person.
Yeah.
Because they are. That's the funniest thing about athletes. All right, we're going to wrap this up. But the funniest thing is they're people. And I think that we as fans and with the positions we're in, you forget that they have – wives, they have children and parents, and sometimes they get sick, and sometimes, you know, there's something wrong with the car. They go through the exact same stuff we do.
Sometimes they have a bad day at work.
Yeah, they do. But when they have a bad day at work, everybody seems to let them know how bad their day is at work. Just imagine, I've always joked about it. I would love to go to, like, somebody who is just, and you all know this person in your life, just miserable. And always, oh, this guy's terrible, and I'm going to post. I'm going to do this. I'm going to tweet at everybody. And I would just love for somebody to follow this person around for a day, and if they have a bad day on the job, just be like, I can't believe you filed that paper there.
Yeah,
What's wrong with you?
For as much as I've misspoken this morning, I'd be getting hammered right now by that person.
Ah,
they'd be all over me.
Nah, you're fine.
So anyway, let's get out of here now. We said we were going to get out of here about 5 minutes ago and went on a tangent. So
that's what we do on the podcast.
Yeah, it happens. But for TV's Mike Maniscalco.
And for the Web's Michael Smith.
We'll talk to you guys.
Oh, by the way, the Web's Michael Smith and champion of justice. Good for you, Michael. You're a good human being. And one more rant. I am proud to work with you, but I'm even more proud and honored to call you a good friend. You're a good, good person, Michael Smith.
Thank you, sir. The feeling is mutual. We'll talk to you guys next week, Monday or Tuesday, trade deadline. Hurricanes will be perhaps busy. We don't know. We'll talk about it. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Thank you.